I find it so proud to stand here today to introduce to this 40th anniversary of the Midas strike, Mr. Arthur Scargill.
The privilege today is for me to attend this meeting and say thank you to all those miners who took part in the strike in 1984 and 1985. But I want to, at the start of my contribution, to make a statement. I can't make it on behalf of the NUM because we removed my membership a few years ago. But I can speak as president of the International Miners Organization, and speak I will. I want to make a speech about the slaughter of the innocent in Gaza. The slaughter of 30,000 innocent people, including children and the unborn in Gaza, is nothing less than genocide. The perpetrators should be arrested and jailed for life. It is terrible that the fascist state of Israel has continuously bombed and shelled Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem for nearly 5 months. These territories are the land of Palestine, which Israel has unlawfully occupied since 1967. And unless Israel withdraws, the United States should force it back. If the United States and the United Kingdom can unlawfully invade Grenada, Iraq, and Libya, they should have no problem driving back Israel to 1967 line from the occupied territories of Palestine. I will be non-controversial about the strike. I'm here today to pay tribute to all those miners and their families, and of course all who took part in that magnificent dispute. I'll never forget Christmas 1984. Some people say it was a terrible time. I believe my recollection's right. One of the best times we ever had. We had dozens and dozens of juggernauts organised by the French CGT and Alain Simon, and they delivered goods, food, and a present for every child of miners. And in addition, internationally, countries all over the world took our children for holidays during that bitter struggle that took place for that year. They'll never be forgotten. 40 years ago, the Tory government, led by Thatcher, declared war on the National Union of Mine Workers. The Tories have been preparing for a showdown with the NUM long before they came to power. They could not forget the victory that the miners inflicted upon the Tory government in 1969, 1972, and 1974. In the spring of 1982, I was handed a copy of a secret government plan prepared by the Coal Board, earmarking 95 pits earmarked for closure, with the loss of over 100,000 jobs. It became clear in the following period that the union would have to take action. We had to have maximum effect. How do we do it? We decided to call a special national delegate conference in 1983, which is before 1984. I just said that because somebody from the sun might have come in. We took a decision at that conference, a unanimous decision, including areas who later didn't go with us, to impose a full overtime ban. So the dispute was longer than 12 months. It was 4 months before, because it started on the 1st of November 1983. Did it affect the issue? Of course it did. That's why it led to the strike. It succeeded between November 1983 and February 1984 in reducing the stocks of coal by 12 million tons. It cut national coal stocks to the same level. It's the same level that had been present before the unofficial strike in 1981. It's often forgotten, you know, by those who cry, we ought to have had a ballot. In 1981, without a conference, without a ballot, but faced with pit closures, the miners came out on strike. And within 3 weeks, we successfully forced Thatcher back. It was a withdrawal. I call it a body swerve. Ian McGregor was appointed as chairman of the National Coal Board. And the effect of the overtime ban was so dramatic that they drew a plan to close immediately five pits in four areas. Cortonwood and Bulcliffe Wood in Yorkshire, Herrington in Durham, Snowdown in Kent, and Polmeyes in Scotland. And within a week, McGregor announced on the 6th of March a further 20 pits would be closed in the coming year. An executive committee meeting on the 8th of March, 2 days later, Scotland and Yorkshire requested permission to take area industrial action. We were faced with area pit closures, and therefore we concluded we had to respond with area industrial action. We were faced with an area attack. in the belief, mistakenly, that if they could condition miners in certain parts of the country, for example, in Nottinghamshire, South Derbyshire or Leicester, that if they didn't vote or take action, their pits would be safe. It was a lie. We knew it was a lie. That's the reason why we had no alternative but to take industrial action on a scale that now is history. In 1984, steel plants were the weakest point, and I tried my best to convince the union that we should divest all our efforts against the steelworks. And that meant, of course, places like Orgreave, which supplied the coke. I wanted to see Scunthorpe, Ravenscraig and Port Talbot targeted. Primarily, that was the target I wanted. It wasn't accepted initially by members of the union. I'm talking about in leadership positions. But eventually, they came round to the idea that it was inevitable. They only had 3 weeks' supply at the steelworks, and they got 8 months' supply in the power stations. Far more important to attack your enemy at the weakest point rather than the strongest point. Who said that? Thatcher. Admitted it in her autobiography. She said, we must do everything we can to stop any attack on our steel plants, because if they close the steel plants, we fail. She meant the government fail. It's in her autobiography. She devoted a chapter to me. I think she fancied me. We knew that they were mounting more and more police. Massive. And all that you heard is true. It was vicious. It was brutal. And of course it was unlawful. But it didn't matter to them. It was a reminiscent battle that could have taken place in the English Century Civil War. The disorder resulted in dozens being hospitalised, including me, on the 18th of June. What is ignored or forgotten is at the end of that day, Haslam of British Steel, the chairman, sent a telex and closed the plant. People don't know that. I'll tell you who gave me a copy of the telex. Nick Jones of the BBC, on the record. The fundamental difference between Saltney in 72 and Orgreave in 84 was that following the first closure at Saltney, picketing was increased, and that's why massive pickets were joined by the working class of the area, including the AU and the TNG. If the same procedure had happened on the 18th of June 1984, and the trade unions had been increased in the picketing, the outcome would have been different. But I have to tell you, the chances of troops being brought in was a real threat. The plan was there. I've met them since. I travelled with Tony Benn on the train from Durham about 6 years after, and a young policeman said, I was at Orgreave, and we said, were you? He says, yeah, we were deployed, and we were told that we were there until the miners were defeated. But their reserve powers, and they were prepared to bring in troops. I did a question time program in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and afterwards they put me in a hotel, and the bloke who was in charge of the evening, there were no sandwiches or anything, I asked him, can I get a cup of tea and a sandwich? And he said, certainly. And he started serving me. He says, long time since I saw you last. I says, have we met? He says, yeah, we met at Orgreave. I said, which pit? He says, I wasn't in the pit. I was on the other side. He said, but I was in the armed forces. But I had to be dressed as a police officer. And he was involved in it. So that took place. And we've got a right to understand what was taking place on the 18th of June. It was a state attack, an organised attack on the trade union movement. Negotiations. What happened? We settled the miners' strike 5 times. And every time we reached an agreement, Thatcher intervened. Don't believe me. I hate to say, don't go buy a copy of Thatcher's book, but it's in Thatcher's book. Take it from me. We met on the 3rd of March 1985. And after a bitter and sometimes really raucous conference, we had to take a vote. The three national officials made clear that they would not support any return to work. We called upon the union to stay out. The vote, when it took place, was carried by 98 votes to 91. The three national officials were amongst the 91 calling for the strike to continue. We were so close to victory, and yet here we were being told to go back to work. I knew that the stock position, even in the power stations, couldn't carry on. The chairman of the CEGB had accepted long afterwards that they couldn't have carried on had we been able to carry on. I'll never forget the international support we got. That strike made all of you international heroes and heroines. There's never been a dispute like this that strike since the Tolpuddle Martyrs, or the Chartists, or the Diggers, or the Levellers. That strike in 1984-5 is on a par with them. The miners' strike of 1984-5 remains an inspiration for workers, but a reminder for today's trade union leaders, of their responsibility to their members and the need to come together in direct action to challenge the government and employers in all forms of injustice and inequality and exploitation consigned to the dustbin. It's a privilege to be here today. I'm knocking on a bit now. But I still have the fervour that I had as a 15-year-old boy at Woolley Colliery, where I worked for 19 years. I can tell you tonight, today, you walked into history in 1984-5, and you also entered the pantheon of working class heroes and heroines, and your names are known all over the world as the Great Strike of 1984-5 in Great Britain. The privilege today is mine. I support you.
I'm taking over in case it don't work. Don't mind Arthur. Come on, mate.
How have you kept going? I mean, you're still fighting for justice for Palestine, for other causes. I mean, what is it in you that, I mean, you've not been defeated? I mean, there's that saying, the miners unite and they'll be, you've never been defeated. What is it in you, you think, that keeps you going?
Faith. I've got a faith in socialism, a faith in Marxism. I've had it since I was 15 years of age. And I'll have it till the day I die. I believe that young people today will eventually see common sense and get rid of the Tory party, yes, the Tory government, but above all, they expose this social democratic capitalist Labour Party, which are a disgrace.
Well, the relevance of the miners' strike to young people was brought home to me when I moved up to Sheffield in 2012. I've been a socialist since I was 15. I was of the generation where we'd seen the imperialist wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we'd seen the bankers crashing the economy and the cuts from the Tory government coming after the rest of us. They closed my youth services connection. They tried to privatise my local hospital, NHS Hinchinbrook. When I moved up to Sheffield, I met Derbyshire miners for the first time. The first Derbyshire miner I ever met was a man named Ian Whitehouse. If you're watching, Ian, hiya. Ian told me that he felt like, because they'd lost, they'd let us generation down. He said there wouldn't be zero-hour contracts now for young people if the miners had won that fight. Well, Ian, you never let us down. You fought the good fight. And we would be letting you down if we didn't carry on the struggle.